says Yair Davidi, broadcasting Brit Am broadcasts Israel Bambi from Jerusalem. This is the second part of our talk concerning the blessings that would come to Israel and how these blessings are proof of where the Lost Ten Tribes are in our time. It was prophesied that Israel would become a great and mighty nation. Chapter 18 of Genesis, God made himself known unto Abraham. And he said, Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Justice and judgment. That was the reason for the giving of the blessing. The doing of justice and judgment in this blessing are spoken of and they are emphasized. The chosen people were destined to do justice and judgment in order that all the nations of the earth be blessed in them, through them. The order of the blessing implies that in order to do justice and judgment, if you look at the blessing carefully, in order to do justice and judgment, the people who are blessed must first become a great and mighty nation. Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. First, Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, and he will do afterwards justice and judgment. Becoming a great and mighty nation may be seen as a tool, as a means to do justice and judgment. So it says, Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. First, the descendants of Abraham were to become a great and mighty nation, in order that all the nations of the earth be blessed in him. This was because, as God says, as we said, as we pointed out, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they would do justice and judgment after becoming a great and mighty nation. The Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The prophets also spoke of the Lost Ten Tribes becoming a great nation. For instance, the prophet Micah says, Micah in chapter 5 verse 7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a Jew, actually in Hebrew as the midst of many peoples, in the midst of many peoples, that's what the Hebrew says, as a Jew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Micah 5:8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be amongst the Gentiles, in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep. If he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Micah 5:9, thine hand shall be upon your enemies, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. The Lost Ten Tribes are described by the prophet Micah as a warrior people who defeat their enemies. They are called a young lion. The British symbol is a lion. The British lion. A lion is a symbol of Britain. There is hardly a nation on earth today that the British lion has not defeated in warfare at some time or other. The USA is an extension of Britain in a sense. Britain and the USA are dominated by descendants from the Lost Ten Tribes, especially from the house of Joseph. Through Joseph, the blessings were to be more pronounced and to reveal themselves in a much stronger form than in the other tribes. In another talk, we will discuss the identity of Joseph at more length. At all events, Britain and the USA, in many ways, are the major Lost Ten Tribe countries in our day as far as prophecy is concerned. The USA was founded by Britain, and the USA together fought two wars with Britain, and they won them. They defeated their enemies. In the First World War, Britain and the USA together defeated Germany, Austria, Hungary, and Turkey. In the Second World War, they defeated Germany, Austria, Hungary, Bulgaria, Italy, and Japan. These nations were their enemies. They were the mightiest non-Israelite nations on earth at that time. At the time they were defeated. Britain assisted the USA in the Korean War and in the Gulf War and in many military operations, including the recent defensive attacks against the Taliban in Afghanistan and against the Muslim rebels in Iraq. The USA is the mightiest nation on earth today, and all nations of the earth fear the USA. Britain and the USA are the two major nations that do justice and judgment on a relative scale at the international level. They are almost the only nations that do have a conscience, and they do to some extent attempt to enforce some degree of justice in this world. Sometimes they make mistakes, sometimes or often you could say, but at all events their intentions are good ones. Sometimes they also criticize the state of nation, the state of Israel. Sometimes they also criticize the state of Israel when they should in effect support her and encourage her and encourage the state of Israel to assert itself. Instead of that, they do the opposite. Nevertheless, on the whole, their effect is a positive one. There are also anti-Semites among them. There are anti-Semites in USA and in Britain and in related nations. One has to look at the good and the bad and to recognize it, to own up to the truth. On the whole, despite everything, the USA is the only major power that consistently supports the state of Israel against the rest of the world. The USA does have a conscience. It is fair. It's a fair nation and it's a big heart. The people of the USA do believe in using the power and influence of their nation for the sake of justice and judgment. They fulfill the blessing given to Abraham. The blessing given to the descendants of Abraham was that they should become a great and powerful nation, a very populous nation, that they would do justice and judgment, and that they would become a nation through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. There's not a single nation in the world today that's not been assisted by the USA. Not one. All nations of the earth have been blessed through the USA. The USA has fulfilled the blessing given to Abraham. We saw above in the Acacia incident when Isaac was bound, that after Abraham passed the test and proved himself willing to carry out the commandment of the Almighty, he was given an unconditional blessing. This blessing involved becoming a great and mighty nation. On the other hand, concerning inheriting and settling in the land of Israel, was conditional upon keeping the commandments. Whereas other aspects of the blessing were not conditional, but had to be fulfilled at some time or other, and they were fulfilled through the Lost Ten Tribes. The Lost Ten Tribes took upon themselves or received those aspects of the blessings that were not conditional. In Genesis 22, it's related, the whole incident of Isaac that we mentioned. Some aspects of this incident we find difficult to understand. But what we can understand is there to teach us a lesson. Abraham was told to take his son, his only son, according to the words of the Bible. Isaac was called the only son of Abraham. Even though Abraham had another son, Ishmael, in God's eyes, Isaac was the only son of Abraham. He was told to take his only son, Isaac, and go with him to the Mount of Moriah. He was told that when he reached the Mount of Moriah, he was to offer Isaac up as a human sacrifice. Abraham did as he was told, and he went with Isaac to the place. He laid wood upon an altar. Then Abraham bound Isaac to the altar, and he raised up a sacrificial knife to kill Isaac. The last moment, an angel of God stopped Abraham. The angel told Abraham that the whole thing was only a test of faith to see if Abraham would obey the commandment of God in this matter or not, to see if he was prepared to go through with what God had told him. Then a ram, a male sheep, was substituted for Isaac, and this ram was sacrificed instead of Isaac. The purpose of the test was to enable the international aspects of the promises to Abraham to be fulfilled unconditionally. After the Akedah, in Hebrew, it's called an Akedah, the binding of Isaac, after Abraham had passed the test, God blessed Abraham and said, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Note the expression in the first part of this blessing. "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son from me. By myself, says the Lord." In other words, unconditionally, by himself. God is making an unconditional promise. By myself, he swears, by himself, by the very essence of God Almighty, himself, who cannot change, and therefore this promise is not subject to change. This is a new development. This is a new development in the giving of the blessings. Some of the previous blessings are now repeated. The seed of Abraham is promised that it will be multiplied as the stars of the heavens and as the sands of the seashore. It is also promised in this blessing that the seed of Abraham will inherit the gates of his enemies, that is, strategic points and thoroughfares. The promise is now unconditional. In this verse, nothing is said about the land of Israel. Nothing is said about inheriting the land of Israel, because inheriting the land of Israel is not conditional. It is not unconditional. It is conditional. It is contingent upon keeping the commandments and upon monotheistic belief in one God. Eventually, we find that Abraham became old and he thought he was going to die. So he sent his son Eleazar to the house of his father in Paddan Aram to bring back a wife for his son Isaac. Eleazar went and brought back Rebekah. Before Rebekah left her home, the family of Rebekah blessed her. They said unto her, Genesis 24:60, "You are our sister, be you the mother of thousands of millions, and may your seed possess the gates of those that hate them." This verse is definitely saying that Rebekah should become the mother of a vast number of people. The exact translation of the Hebrew here is not clear. The King James translates it as thousands of millions. Can also be translated as tens of millions or hundreds of millions, but it is talking of a vast number of people at all events. About numbers that are pertinent in our time, that say something to us. Numbers that are to be found amongst the great nations of the earth in the contemporary sense. The seed of Rebekah and Isaac were promised to become extremely numerous and to possess the strategic passes, the gates of their enemies. Isaac had been promised through Abraham that his seed would possess the gates of his enemies, and Rebekah likewise was promised that her seed would possess the gates of those that hate them. Isaac married Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah were the parents of Jacob, of Israel. The promise to possess the gate of your enemies, the gates of those who hate them. This promise refers to the possession of strategic points that allow access to or control over thoroughfares of supply, or to the interior of a country, or something similar to some strategic point that enables entrance into the vital parts of potential enemies, or enemies in actuality, of those who bear the promise. This is also how the rabbinical commentators understood the blessing, how the sages of the Talmud understood it, and it also is what is implied by the simple Hebrew passages in the Bible. The sages mentioned that this blessing was exemplified, an example of this blessing in actuality in historical times, was fulfilled when Solomon, the king of Israel, built the city of Tadmor in the Syrian desert. Tadmor, the Syrian city towards the north of the country and the east, it controlled thoroughfares, it controlled desert routes, desert trade routes. By possessing Tadmor, Solomon was able to control the passage of caravans bearing merchandise that travelled along caravan routes in the desert. In those days, people did not have refrigeration. In many areas of the world at that time, before the coming of winter, the surplus farm animals would be killed off. The meat of these animals would be preserved and flavoured using different spices. Many spices came from India and the East. Other valuable goods also came from India and the East. They moved from the East to the West. The trade with India and the East was very important. Whoever controlled this trade had a strategic advantage in international affairs. When Solomon built Tadmor, he was able to get control over this trade. Tadmor is an example what the expression "gate of your enemies" means. It is an example in practical terms, in practical application of the blessing, and of how it will be fulfilled in the future. In the past, Britain and the USA controlled every important international strait and thoroughfare. Examples are Hong Kong, Singapore, Gibraltar, the Falklands, Panama, the Philippines, the Suez Canal, Malta, Heligoland. There's a list of them on our website. Everywhere where there was a strategic point of international importance, was usually, in fact, in nearly every case, it was under British or American control. Even now, many of these places are still controlled by the USA or Britain. The USA has bases all over the world. The USA does not always publicize the existence of these bases, but they are known about. These bases, controlled by the USA, exist. The host countries, the countries to which these bases technically belong, have only limited control over them. They cannot just tell the USA to leave. In some cases, the host countries in which the bases are located are open enemies of the USA. And in other cases, they are potential enemies. They are potential adversaries. And nevertheless, they have no real say on a day-to-day basis concerning what the USA does or does not do with these bases and on them. These bases are gates. They are the gates of your enemies. They are the gates of those who hate them. They are the gates of our enemies. The USA has bases in islands off Japan, in the Pacific Ocean, in the Indian Ocean, in every ocean, in Greenland, in Saudi Arabia, in the Persian Gulf, in northern Iraq, in Kurdistan. The USA has now acquired bases in Central Asia that give it access to Russia, Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan, India and China. The USA has all kinds of facilities of strategic importance all over the world. Not all of these bases and facilities have been publicized, but they exist and they are known about, and their existence can be easily clarified, can be easily made known. We have discussed these bases in our books, especially in our book Joseph. The host nations in which the bases are located, as we said, are often America's enemies, but they can still do little concerning what America does. They cannot get America out of these bases, though these bases potentially allow America access to their vital points. In other words, the bases allow America access. They allow America, if necessary, to come in. They are gates. They are the gates of your enemies. The chosen people of Israel were promised that they would possess the gates of their enemies. These promises have been fulfilled through Britain and America. America and Britain are the only countries that have rights of this type on such an international scale. They are the only nations where such arrangements have always been a natural integrated part of their foreign and military policy. In the past, other empires existed. There were the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire, the Turkish Empire, the Russian Empire, the Chinese Empire, the Spanish and Portuguese empires, and there were other enemy empires. Only Britain and America made the possession of gates an important part of their strategy, of their foreign policy. Other empires used other methods and placed their emphasis on other means of control and influence. Only Britain and America emphasized the possession of gates because this was part of the blessing to the children of Israel, and descendants of the children of Israel constituted an important element in their populations of Britain and America and related nations. Britain and America, as representatives of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, were the only ones to whom it was promised that they would possess the gates of their enemies, and in them was this blessing fulfilled. The blessing was given to Joseph, and they are the representatives of Joseph, in whom the majority portion of the seed of Joseph is to be found today. In the past, Britain ruled the waves. All the major sea lanes and sea passes were under the control of Britain, all of them. Nowadays, sea movement is less important than it used to be. Nevertheless, we have something that is also of significance, something new. This is space, outer space. Space is important. The USA, even today, has de facto control of space, of outer space. The USA has satellites and missiles and a space-orientated infrastructure that allows it access by satellite to most parts of the world. For the purposes of attack, or at least for the purpose of surveillance, through its satellites, the USA, if it so wishes, can take a very close-up photograph of a lot of areas. In some cases, not only can USA satellites reveal soldiers marching below on the ground, but they can even discern, it has been claimed, what, in some cases, what rank, what signs of rank the soldiers bear on their shoulders. In other words, the USA has gates, meaning it has avenues of entry, it has means of access to all of its actual and potential enemies. Possession of these gates, of this option of entry into these areas, does not guarantee victory in war, but it is a definite advantage. Other countries have got space programs of their own, but they cannot really do much unless the USA allows them to. None of the other nations have achieved anything like the USA in this field. It's not that the other nations are less gifted. It just was not there. They lacked the resources and inclination to achieve what the USA did at the crucial moment, at the right time. They were not there at the strategic moment. They did not make the right decisions at the right moment. The best thing to possess the gates of your enemies was not pertinent to other nations. It was pertinent to the USA. As we saw, Isaac married Rebecca. Rebecca gave birth to two twin brothers. When these brothers were still in the womb, they were still inside the womb, inside their mother, we said unto Rebekah, Genesis 25, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall struggle with the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So we find the two twin brothers, Jacob and Isaac, Esau, were born to Isaac. Two twin brothers, Jacob and Esau. Esau, Genesis 25:25, was the firstborn, but Esau later sold his firstborn birthright to Jacob. After the birth of the twins, Isaac was again blessed. See Genesis 26, verses 3 to 5. Isaac was blessed with the future possession of all the lands round about, with a multitude of descendants and all the nations of the earth being blessed in him because of the pledge to Abraham, and due to the virtue of Abraham having kept the commandments. Later, when Isaac was old, he became blind and wanted to bless his son Esau before he died. Why did he want to bless Esau and not Jacob? Why? They were both his sons. The Bible tells us in Genesis 25, verses 27 to 28, that Esau was a hunter. He was a man of the field, and his father loved him. Esau was apparently a masculine, enterprising type, a macho, man's man, such as every father, very many males, in some way or other, like to see something of these attributes in their male children. It's part of being a man. Jacob, on the other hand, was a dweller of tents. He was a favourite of his mother. Late in his life, we do find that Jacob possessed enormous physical strength. He shows himself to be quite a Hebrew, does Jacob, later on. He became a leader of men in his own right, and a warrior. He defeated armies of overwhelming adversaries. It may be that the heroic qualities that Jacob did possess that later became apparent at that time did not show themselves while he was still in the house of his father. Isaac called Esau unto him and asked him to go and hunt venison, deer, and bring him food so that with a full heart he might bless him before he died. Rebekah, the mother of Esau and Jacob, overheard Isaac speak unto Esau. Rebekah called Jacob and told him to go take kid goats. These goats were to be slaughtered. Their meat would be prepared to resemble deer meat. Rebekah also told Jacob to place goat skins on his arms so that they would feel hairy, and to dress himself in the clothes of Esau and to go unto his father. Rebekah told Jacob to pretend that he was Esau in order to receive the blessing. Jacob did what his mother told him. When Jacob came into Isaac, Isaac said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Isaac apparently thought that Jacob was Esau. It's not so far-fetched as we might think. Isaac did think that the voice was the voice of Esau, but he was not sure. It sounded like Isaac, but he thought it was Esau. We must remember that Isaac was blind, and Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Brothers from the same family often have voices that sound familiar. They sound similar to each other. I know from my own experience, I have sons of my own. Sometimes my sons ring me on the phone, and I do not immediately, do not at once discern which one of them, in every case, is speaking to me. I know it is one or other of my sons, but I don't know which one it is. And when they do not immediately identify themselves, I have to wait for a couple of minutes before I can be sure to whom I'm speaking. Even though that I know it is one of them, I don't know which one it is. And apparently Isaac was in the same position. Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob, Genesis 27:28-29. He said, "Therefore God gave you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you." Jacob received promises of plenty and all the blessings of the patriarchs. Everything that had been promised to the forefathers was to come to Jacob. Jacob was to receive everything. After receiving the blessings, Jacob went out. Esau returned from the field and came in just after Jacob had left. Esau heard that Jacob had come in with subtlety, with craft, with trickery, and had received the blessing. Genesis 27:35 tells us that Isaac said that even though Jacob had received the blessing through subterfuge, through guile, through trickery, yet Isaac was the one whom Jacob was the one whom Isaac now realized shall be blessed. See Genesis 27:33. In other words, the blessings had a spiritual significance. When Isaac gave the blessing, he must have realized that he was only an agent of the Almighty. He was an emissary of God. He was an agent of God. He was serving as a channel for the blessing to come from above. The person being blessed was being blessed by God through him, through Isaac, but Isaac was not doing the blessing. The blessings were the will of God. Isaac said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him, that is, I have made Jacob, I have made him your Lord." Jacob was made the Lord, the master of Esau. And he continues, "And all his brethren have I given to him as servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him." Genesis 27:37. Esau was angry that Jacob had supplanted him, that Jacob had tricked his father and received the blessings instead of him. So Esau planned to kill Jacob and take revenge. But Rebekah, the mother of Esau and of Jacob, heard about it. Rebekah persuaded Isaac to send Jacob away to Paddan Aram, to the house of her father, to take a wife from the house of her family. Before he went, Isaac once again blessed Jacob and said, "And God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people." That's what the King James says. A multitude of people. But in Hebrew it says, "Ka'al Amim," which actually means a multitude of peoples. That is, several peoples in the plural. several peoples at one and the same time. And Isaac continued his blessing and said, and give you, that is, may God give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, with Jacob, that you may inherit the land wherein you are a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham, the land which God gave unto Abraham. Genesis 28, verses 3 to 4. Isaac at this moment was now consciously giving and reaffirming the blessing to Jacob. Isaac realized that however Jacob had received the blessing, it was the will of God that Jacob receive it. Did not matter that Jacob had tricked him, had tricked Isaac, and deceived him, that Jacob had disguised himself and said he was somebody else. Jacob received the blessing, and it was the will of God that he received the blessing. The blessing was to be his, was to be Jacob's, according to the will of God. Jacob was promised that he would receive the blessing of Abraham to you. Jacob was inheritor of the promises, and from Jacob would emerge the chosen people. Jacob set out to go to Paddan Aram. On the way he came to Bethel. He took a stone for a pillar and he slept there. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it, and to your seed, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all the places whither you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. See Genesis 28, verses 12 to 15. It's a principle in rabbinical thought that the deeds of the fathers are indications, or they are symbols, they are allegories of what would happen, what will happen to the sons. They symbolize what the descendants would do and what would happen to them. That is, what happened to Jacob was symbolic of the destiny of his children, of those who would come after him. Jacob was told by God that I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. What does it mean, until? What does it mean, I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of? Does it mean that after he has done it, that then he will leave him? Definitely not, no. The Bible says he will not. The Bible says that God will not leave us. Rather, the expression may be understood to say that since Jacob was leaving the land of Israel and going away in order to take a wife and was eventually to return, so the leaving of Jacob symbolizes the exile of his children for the purposes of divine providence. Jacob was being promised that even in his state of exile, God would look after him. God would look after his children and would fulfill in him, that is, in those descended from him, all that which had been promised to them. The promises, at least in a certain sense, promises as far as is possible in our limited state at the present condition of the world, these promises have been fulfilled in the lost 10 tribes. As promised, the promises have been fulfilled, even though in the Messianic era, at the end of time, when everything is corrected, even greater blessings, much greater blessings, will come upon the children of Israel and upon all humanity. Regarding the peoples of Britain and America, and to a degree also those peoples of Israelite descent in other parts of Western Europe, such as a significant proportion, a significant element among the populations of France, Holland, Scandinavia, within the limitations of circumstance and nature, the promises to the children of Israel have been fulfilled to a degree amongst them and only amongst them. Out of all the peoples of the earth, only these nations have fulfilled the promises that were promised the children of Israel. Only they have fulfilled the unconditional section of the promises that the prophets indicated would come to fruition, would come to fulfillment in the lost 10 tribes. And these peoples are descended from lost 10 tribes. Amongst these peoples are to be found most of the descendants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. These peoples, relatively speaking, have been the most blessed of all the peoples of the earth. In terms of their average length of life, their longevity, their relative freedom from disease, their ability to heal themselves once they are injured or sick, in terms of their standard of living and the quality of their life, their freedom from oppression, their self-respect in terms of local government and acknowledged rights of existence, etc., in terms of their access to education, to knowledge. From an all-round point of view, these peoples who we identified, who Brit Am identifies as descended from the lost tribes of Israel, these peoples have received more than any other group of nations in the world. They have been the most blessed of all the peoples of the world. That does not mean that everybody is happy in these areas, or that the blessing is felt by everybody in them at all times. Nowadays, through immorality and bad living, and sometimes simple circumstance due to causes we are not really certain of, the blessings have been impaired. We are speaking of the blessings being fulfilled in a general sense over a long period of time, as the Bible would require us to consider them, and according to this standard, the blessings have been fulfilled in the peoples we identify. The blessings were fulfilled in these peoples to some degree, and a large proportion of their populations did get close to seeing somewhere on the horizon. Somewhere, somehow, that life in this world can be good in a physical, emotional, and national sense, as well as in a spiritual one. Just being able to beat their enemies against all odds, to help the oppressed, to help refugees, as America did, as Britain did in her own way, did just this in itself was a blessing. To be able to do this, and to do it, this is a blessing. This is something we should be thankful for. It gave our peoples a feeling of being big, of enlargement. It was a blessing in its own right. In Europe, on the continent, they used to say that in every war, the British lose all the battles except one. And that battle that they do win is always the last battle of the war. In other words, even though they may have been brave and powerful in their own right, there was always a feeling that somehow God was on their side, that they had somehow been chosen, that the Almighty would intervene on their behalf, that their natural talents and abilities and the resources that they possessed were not enough in themselves, that it needed something extra, something from the Almighty, something from heaven, something that God would give them, a guiding hand that was there, was always there in the end to help them through. This feeling was instinctive, and it came from the bottom. It came from the people, from the common people. The very existence of this feeling, of this knowledge, of this instinct was a blessing. It helped the peoples of Israel in exile to overcome all the odds against them. The feeling itself is considered a gift from heaven. The feeling did exist, and it still does in many respects. We just should hope and pray that in the coming trials of our peoples, that this spirit will once again show itself, and that God will continue to help us and save us and to be our deliverance in times of trouble. The Hebrews, we have spoken about are the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and in them have been fulfilled the blessings given to Israel. So who then are the Jews, the Jewish people? Who are they? The Jews are also Israelites. The Jews are Israelites. They are Israelites who are recognized by all the world as being Israelites, and they keep the Israelite law and Israelite heritage, the law of Moses that was given to all the peoples of Israel, and they are the only tribes, the only group of tribes that did not lose their identity, that always knew who they were and were known by others as to who they are. The Jews are dominated mainly by the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, Simeon and Levi. The Jews also include some representatives of all the other tribes who somehow or other over the course of time joined themselves to the Jews. Jews, by Jews we mean the entity referred to in the Bible as Judah. Judah is the dominant tribe amongst the Jews, just as Joseph or Ephraim, the son of Joseph, was the dominant tribe amongst the lost 10 tribes, and is sometimes all the lost 10 tribes are referred to in a general sense under the name of Joseph or under the name of Ephraim. So too, in Scripture, the Jews are represented by the terms Judah or Jerusalem or Zion. These names represent the Jewish people in Scripture. Jacob was renamed Israel. Israel had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. The physical firstborn son of Israel was Reuben. Reuben, however, acted improperly, the concubine of his father. And so the rights of the firstborn were taken away from Reuben and given to Joseph. On the other hand, David and the house of David are from the tribe of Judah, and they are the true rightful rulers of all Israel. The future Messiah is destined to come from Judah. He will be a descendant of David, and he is destined to rule over all Israel. David belongs to the tribe of Judah. Judah was destined to keep the law, whereas the other tribes were not so destined. We see from this that Reuben and the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh and Judah, all in their own way, could claim a certain degree of preeminence amongst the tribes. They all had some claim to the rights of leadership. In the book of Chronicles 5:1-12 it says, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy, but rather about the genealogy, that is the rights of the firstborn, is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, for the birthright was Joseph's. Joseph had the birthright. Joseph was to become the preeminent tribe, whereas the future ruler of all Israel, the true ruler and the eventual ruler, was to come from the tribe of Judah. This was to cause some friction, and this deserves amplifying and speaking of in greater detail. And so we shall do in coming talks. This is Yair Davidi from Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, wishing you all the best. May God bless all of you and us, and help us to help you and to help others. We may not be perfect, but we do help others, and we are doing something for the good of all of us, for the good of Judah and Joseph. And it is needed that what we do be done. And without your help and assistance, we may not be able to continue. So take us into consideration and help us, and God will bless you, the God Almighty, God of Israel will bless you and bless all of us. All the best from Bambi, Britain, Broadcasting, Israel.